Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com. Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com. Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
People have told stories of the strange and supernatural for centuries. Tales of the restless dead return to haunt the living. Whispers of damned souls doing the devil's bidding on earth. Rumors of inhuman things that still hunt the old forests, untouched by the glare of modern life. There may be more to these stories than you could ever imagine. Join us tonight as we delve into the deeper truth inside these mysteries.
Ahoy, me mateys, and welcome back to another episode. I am joined by the Viking.
Hello.
Hello.
Thanks for having me.
Indeed. So, you know, everything that's been going on, it's been difficult times, and hopefully we're getting back to normal. Yeah.
So. Yeah, I mean, I must admit, I've been struggling to get some episodes in for mine, and, you know, I know you've been the same, so trying to find time with everything, isn't it, at the moment?
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
We're all in the same boat.
Just so people know, we are recording over Zoom at the minute. That's not the preferred way to do things, but it's what we have to hand. So if you hear any crackling and shit, then it is what it is, unfortunately.
Yeah, it might not be the best quality, but...
No, but next time we do something, it will be better. So just bear that in mind. We are in different areas of the UK. You're in Northampton, I'm still in Grimsby, so we are a few hundred miles apart, so it is what it is. It's the best we can do.
Yes.
No, we are getting a show out. So, today we are talking about the...
The Wampus Cat.
Okay, so tell me what you know about the Wampus Cat.
Right, I mean, prior to any sort of...
This is not just a cat that lives in a swamp, is it?
No, it's nothing to do with the swamp.
That's what it sounds like to me. You know, it sounds like it's from Sesame Street or
the Everglades.
A cat that lives in a swamp, but yeah.
No, it's more sort of the American Midwest, the Appalachian Mountains and that sort of area. Now, I didn't know much about it at first. It was something I just knew as sort of like a Cherokee legend, you know, a Native American sort of story, really. That it's a bit of a strange one. Now, there are a few different versions of the story. It's not necessarily the same in every reading of it, but I have got a story for you today, which I would say is pretty close to the story that I've learnt. There are some slight differences to other stories that I've heard, which I shall go over at the end, just so people know. You know, so you guys can tell me if you know the one that I'm reading, or if you know a slightly different one. And obviously, for you guys out there in the States who are listening to this and possibly from a similar area, may listen to this and go, "No, that's a completely wrong story."
They might know a different version entirely. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you are you know, if you do listen to it and you do think, hang on, that's a different story, get in touch with us and just let us know what your version is, because we can always, you know, people are told different stories. You know, the thing with, you know, my area of history being sort of Middle Ages and Viking history, going into obviously looking at this with Native American history, it's all word of mouth. So stories change over time. You know, it's a very, very similar thing. It takes a long time for things to be written down. So you might find that your version or other people's versions of the stories are slightly different. So we'll start with the story that I know. And it goes like this. It says, they say the Wampus Cat was once a beautiful Cherokee woman. Her husband would often leave the village with other men to go out hunting and bring back food. Before each trip, men would gather in the woods and ask for forgiveness for their lives of the animals that they were about to take, and they would seek supernatural help in their tasks. But women were forbidden from ever seeing those sacred rites. Now, this is something that is quite well known. It's something that they did sort of tend to segregate women from men in this instance, which you probably wouldn't get away with nowadays, would you? Let's be honest. But that was, you know, that's the main sort of setting for the story. So when you're looking at the story, just remember that this woman can't see anything. She's not involved in anything. But this woman, she was very curious, and her curiosity got the better of her.
Always does.
And I think this might be a similar saying where they say curiosity killed the cat. Maybe it comes from this. She wanted to know the secret magic. She begged and begged her husband to reveal the rites to her, and he always refused. So one night, as the men set out into the forest, she took matters into her own hands, and the woman wrapped herself in a cougar skin and quietly crept through the woods. She came upon a clearing in the forest where the men had gathered, and she hid behind a rock and watched. Finally, she saw the secrets she had desired for a long, long time. She crept closer and closer to the men, waiting and wanting to hear every single detail of what was going on. Then she got too close. When she got too close, the sorcerer who was leading the ritual spotted her, immediately saw through her disguise. The men of the tribe grabbed her and dragged her into the circle. As punishment for breaking the taboo, the sorcerer cast a spell on the woman. The cougar skin she had been wrapped in to hide her identity now became her own skin. She became a strange mix of cougar and human and was cursed to live forever alone in the woods, never again enjoying human company. So the Wampus Cat, apparently it roams the Appalachian Mountains at night, traveling up and down hills in the valleys, forever wandering alone in the mountains. There are some who say that she steals animals or ruins things on the farm. So she will go and hunt, which is, again, something that's quite common in cryptids, that they will, you know, hunt to survive. It's you know, if she has been cursed to live forever, she's going to need to eat.
Oh, yeah.
So they say that she's acting out of anger and resentment, though. So it's not necessarily just a case of being hungry. There is a lot of anger behind it.
Yeah. So she don't just kill one animal, she'll kill five.
Yeah. It's almost like killing for fun. But it's resentment.
You still see that now, don't you? In, like, you see animals being killed, but it's not just one that is killed for food. You get five or six killed, or, you know. And obviously people put that down to wild dogs and stuff, but I'm never convinced.
No, exactly.
Not during the day when people see dogs killing sheep, then that obviously that's what it is. But during the night when you come back to a field, is that dogs? I'm not sure.
Probably not. We don't have, especially in this country, there's no such thing as wild dog in this country.
Or a Wampus Cat.
Yeah. So I find that, I think when I've spoken to Americans on my podcast, they sort of say, you know, well, we've got the pound and things like that. And they have, you know, dog catchers is a job over there. And it's hang on a minute. Like, we don't have wild dogs in this country. We don't don't have wild animals like that in this country at all. And I thought they found a bit of a shock. So the Wampus Cat, obviously, it's heard throughout nighttime. So it is a night predator, which, again, is traditional for cryptids like this. It's also traditional for this type of cat anyway. Cougars and mountain lions, things like that, do tend to hunt at night as well. So there's a lot of you know, truth behind it, I suppose, in that instance. Yeah. And obviously, that's pretty much the gist of the story. It says there are certain characteristics that change region by region. So like I said at the start, obviously some of you guys will have heard that and gone, that's not the story I know. But obviously, it's going to be similar to different areas. And they do say that non-native Americans or cultures in that area say that it has yellow eyes that pierce through people's souls and drive them insane. Now, that sounds very similar to Dogman to me.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
That's sort of you see it and you instantly have that fear. Obviously, there have been sightings throughout the Appalachian Mountains, and the highest number of sightings are in Tennessee and West Virginia. So if you're in those states and you have seen it, or you know someone who has seen it or have stories about it, let us know. It's described as a large panther with yellow glowing eyes, and it dates back to sort of colonial America, almost when you lot kicked us out of the country. So it's quite a broad history to it. Now, when I learned about the Wampus Cat, I learned a slightly different story to this one. And it was very similar in the sense of, you know, it's a woman, a female tribe member who turns into the cat. But a slightly different story, which I think is slightly more based on love. Rather than this one, it's probably got a slightly nicer connotation to a woman who is sneaking around behind her husband's back, which is the way I looked at that when I read it. And that story goes that there was a demon in the forest that was killing the deers and things like that they were trying to hunt. And they sent their best warriors one by one. So the Native Americans sent their best warriors one by one to try and find what was killing their prey, what was, you know, disturbing their village and things like that. And every single time they sent somebody out, they never came back. One day they sent out a shaman or a doctor, or a witch doctor, I suppose, to try and find the demon or whatever it was that was causing the trouble. This person actually returned. When they returned, they were a completely different person, you know, not the type of person that they used to be. And they were left with one choice. And this one choice was to send out their best warrior, which is something they had tried not to do, because obviously you don't want to lose your best man in a fight that they don't know. When the warrior was offered the job, he spoke to his wife, and his wife was not impressed, to say the least. She was not happy with the idea. And it was sort of tough shit, really. He went out, and he did return.
That shaman, did he tell him what he was getting involved in then?
No. The shaman apparently lost his mind and couldn't really talk or anything. He was completely gobsmacked by what happened.
All right.
And the warrior went out and came back. He did come back alive, but when he came back, much like the shaman, he had completely changed. His entire personality had changed, and he wasn't the same person. Now, in this culture at this particular time, he would have been allowed a few weeks maybe to regain his health. Had this failed, he would have just been booted out of the tribe, because he would have been no use, which would have meant his wife would also have been in the same situation. And obviously in this instance, the wife, obviously in total love for her husband, does everything she can to save him and to sort things out. And she actually goes to the elders of the village and says that she wants to go out and try and find whatever this problem is and cure the village herself, and hopefully this will cure her husband.
Yeah, because she's dead either way.
Yeah. So the elders actually gave her a mask, which was a cougar mask.
Right.
Which she wore, confronted the deity, whatever it was, and peace was restored to the village. This mask obviously had magical powers, and it's something that she kept with her up until her death. And then when she died, she became the Wampus Cat. Now, the one, I think it's a nicer story. I think there's a lot of niceness about that. I think the love is there. She's done everything she can to save her husband. Things like going to the elders of the village is not something women were allowed to do in those times either. So it's not, you know, she went above and beyond what she should have done. However, what I don't understand about this story is if that mask was so powerful, why the fuck didn't they give it to the first guy who tried? You know,
or the shaman at least.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? It's I like the story, but my biggest complaint with that is surely they must have gone, oh, this might work. Let's give it to everyone. Rather than as a last resort. But so that's the story of the Wampus Cat. So I think there are a lot of similarities between that and cryptids around the world as well. It's depicted on 4 feet or 2, sometimes even depicted on 6. Now, I'm not sure how that one works, but apparently there are rare sightings where it's depicted with 6 legs. Not, like I said, I'm not sure how that one works. I don't know if you know anything about that, but
no, I think a 6-legged cat be something to behold.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a, like I said, it's an interesting story. It's something a little bit different, I think. And however many of you guys have actually heard of this story is, you know, I don't know. I suppose you guys probably know a little bit more about this type of thing than I do, because like I say, I'm not massively clued up on cryptids and things like this. It's not my area of expertise. It's just something I've found more interesting from listening to your show, to be honest.
Do you think the fact that we only get people seeing the Wampus Cat now rather than the original demon, that, you know, the original thing that they went out to sort of get rid of.
We don't know what that was, do we?
We don't know anything about that, but we still see the Wampus Cat, which is
yeah. So maybe, I don't know. Maybe it was I don't know enough about that. It's potential that it could have just been. I mean, for it to physically change someone's body, I mean, potentially it could actually have been an original Wampus Cat, and then when she has spooked it with her mask, that's what's caused her to then become that when she passes. So I think, you know, when the stories say about how it turns people mad,
yeah,
also, I would have thought that could be a similar link.
Mad. I mean, this sounds mad, even, you know, I'm going to say out loud, but it does sound mad. But do you think there's a possibility that the world was different, you know, and these things could have existed? I know now we just totally poo-poo the lot, wouldn't we? We'd say, no, there's no such thing as these spirits that live in the forest. There's no such thing as this. There's no such thing as that. But people do run into things that shouldn't be there all the time. But you think there was a time where these things were... I know, because we always talk... Everything we sort of bump into now, we just assume that the person who saw it was mad. Mm-hmm. But you think there was a time where not people were more open-minded, just it was actually a time where this realm was a little bit closer. It did exist a bit more than it does now, you know? Maybe.
If I'm honest with you, I think from my personal opinion, when you look throughout history and you look at, and I'm going to approach this from an academic side, like I say, obviously being in history and approach it from that. Yeah, sorry. I am going to approach it from that side. And you look throughout history and there are depictions of mythical creatures dating back as far as, you know, the Mesozoic and the Mesopotamian eras and things like that. And to be honest, I mean, I've got a pretty vivid imagination, and there are people in the world that have got pretty vivid imaginations. How many people...
Yeah, called authors.
Yeah, but how many people have the imagination to come up with something like, for example, a Minotaur with a bull's head and a man's body, or a Sphinx with a man's head and a lion's body, and things like that? And I'm not suggesting that these actually existed in the past, but I do think things that were very similar possibly existed in the past. And I don't think, from my personal understanding, that when you look back through mythological creatures and how many there are, I mean, you just need to, you've got centaurs, minotaurs, centurions, there's thousands and thousands of mythological creatures, even things like unicorns and things like that. How vivid, either we lived in a time back then where people had a much better imagination than what we do now, which I would suggest is probably not the case, because through social media, through television, radio, things like that, we are able to see more of the world now than we ever have done. You know, if you were born in ancient Greece, you probably only went as far as maybe Greece, Turkey, or if you were in the army, possibly a little bit further, but you would never have crossed to North America or South America or Africa or Australia or things like that. So I would suggest that the imagination of these people was probably not as vivid as ours would be, because they've not got any experience of the entire world. And I think that there is a possibility that these creatures like this did exist, and us humans being humans wiped them out. And then now, if you talk about things like this, you're labeled as crazy almost.
That's if these creatures were ever physical, because, you know, people still see, even to this day, they see the little people. They see, you know, I've seen one myself. I've seen a fairy, you know, I've seen these things. People do see these things, but they don't seem to be of this world.
No, I mean, I've heard your story about the little man under the cupboard and the little goblin behind the sofa, and I've heard these stories, and if I'm honest with you, I thought they were quite funny. What? But it's not something that I would have gone, oh yeah, that's true. And like, I do understand that, why, when people sort of hear things like that, they go, yeah, all right, mate.
But then, yeah, I mean, I fully expect that nobody's going to believe that. Not even like 1 in 10 people. I fully expect that 10 out of 10 people will not believe that. Mm. And it is seeing is believing.
Yeah. It is. Realistically,
seeing's not even believing. I mean, you still, even when you see something like, you still question yourself.
Mm. And I'm not going to piss off, I'm not trying to piss off your listeners, but, you know, when you would, I would suggest now, I would say at least 50% of the Western world is atheist or agnostic. Mm. And I think a lot of that comes down to the basis of what you just said, you know, it's seeing is believing. And a lot of people now are sort of saying, well, I can't see it, I've got no proof of it, therefore I don't believe it. So I do think that, yeah, I mean, I'm still skeptical on things like Bigfoot. Having watched videos, having listened to your podcast, having researched it and looked into it myself, I'm still not 100%, because I've not seen it myself. Mm. And until I see it myself, I can't conclusively say there's evidence to prove that they do exist. And I think that's why I think agnostics.
Are you willing? Because this is the game changer, if you like. But are you willing to go to a place that might have these things and you might be able to see evidence of them?
Yeah, of course.
Because there's a lot of people who will just poo-poo it out, you know, just say, you know, that's total bollocks. Don't believe in any of that. Don't exist, blah, blah, blah. And I say, well, come to this place. You know, there's been a few sightings there and we might be able to see evidence of it. And they won't even entertain it.
No. Like, and I don't, I think, I think people like that are, there's two ways of looking at people like that. Either they're scared of the truth. They don't want to be labeled in that sort of a way. Even if they do see it, they don't want to be labeled that they can't explain it. Or it's just a complete, I would say ignorance, to be honest, an arrogance of, well, I'm right, you're wrong, and I don't give a shit. That sort of, and I don't think that's right. I mean, like I said, I've got no proof to suggest Bigfoot exists or anything like that. But if you turned around to me one day and went, right, we've got sightings in this place, and this place at exactly this time from more than one source, are you coming? Like, yeah, go on, let's give it a go. Because if I see something like that, then I can then turn around and go, yeah, actually, it does. I can agree with it. So,
yeah, because that's
be open-minded.
Well, people say they're open-minded, but then they won't go across that threshold of actually, you know, going to the place that might give them answers. They kind of don't, like you said, they don't really want to. They don't want to put themselves in a situation where, hang on a minute, I might have to look at this differently. You know, they're quite happy to just sit where they are, just saying it's all, you know, bullshit. I mean, we're only talking about going not even far in some cases, but just to a certain location. I mean, it's just even if they just said it's just a day out, you know, but
yeah,
they don't even want to entertain. And I find that a little bit, if you're so convinced, right? If, you know, not you, but, you know, I'm talking in general, but if you're so convinced that these things don't exist, then why won't you at least go there? And then you can go, and then you can just turn around and say, told you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they don't even want to put themselves in that position. You know, I find that weird. It's almost like...
I find that weird across the world, like with everything. I mean, I'm going to go off on a branch here, but you know, you look at politics, for example. And I'm going to use mainly, yeah, I know I've got to test, you know, got to tread carefully with this, but, you know, mainly when you look at things like they're on about bringing out.
I can see the reviews now.
Yeah, I know. You're on about registered voters. Let's, for example, now in the UK, we're on about registering everybody to vote. The Queen even came out with a statement today. So this is the 11th of May. She came out with a statement today saying that she agrees with registering people to vote. So I think that's something that's going to come out in this country.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not necessarily for or against it. I don't care. I still vote regardless of whether I have a right. You know, if I have to take an ID card with me that says I can vote, then I'll take an ID card with me. It doesn't make a difference to me. I'm still going to vote.
Any form of ID, I've not got a problem with it, because that makes sense. You should have to have some form of ID to vote. That makes sense. But where I would say it's a little bit, for me, it's a little bit fishy that they're trying to do this now when they're trying to bring in this COVID ID. And I just think, is this a backdoor? Is this, you know, are they using a backdoor to get that across the line? Is this what they're going to use? And there's not going to be, I mean, let's face it, what percentage of the public actually votes? 30%, 40%?
Last election was more about 60, but yeah, the last one they did, the local elections, was about 41%, I think.
Yeah,
pretty low.
So you're only talking about 40%. Let's say, even if you said 50%, that's too generous, and say 50% of people that would need these things, I just don't see that's going to be a massive take up.
No,
is there an agenda behind it?
You look at particularly one party in America, and I won't name it because I'm not going to insult anybody, but there is one party in America that is solely against registering people to vote. And I, again, it's to me, it's that instance of, well, I'm not, you know, the logic behind it is right. Yeah, well, you should be registered to vote. You know, you should be registered everywhere to vote, because it's a democratic right, and that democratic right should need to be proved. You know, I can't turn up and go, I am, and then give my wife's name and I want to vote because I'm clearly not my wife. You know, you should have that. But it's and I'll link that to the Bigfoot thing. You know, if you have nothing to be afraid of, then why are you against it? And that's the same when you've got people saying, well, I don't want to go and I don't, I'm not going to go and see, you tell me Bigfoot's in this forest, I'm not going, I can't be bothered. Well, hang on a minute. What are you afraid of? You're either going to be proved right or you're going to be proved wrong. Either way, you're going to learn something. And people need to be more open-minded, I think, when it comes to especially cryptids and things like that. You know, the governments have come out and said a lot of things recently that have been swept sort of away. You know, I mean, I did a show on 2020 at the start of this year to cover last year, because last year was a hell of a crazy year. And one of the main things I point out in that show was that the Pentagon in America released evidence of UFOs, and they said UFOs exist. Now, in any other year, that would have been the biggest news of the year. That is an international, the biggest international place for military and things like that in the world, come out and say there's UFOs that are flying around and there's fuck all we can do about it. That is huge, huge news. And it got swept under the rug by everything else that went on last year. And I think, you know, and I'm not lying. If anyone thinks I'm lying about it, go online and check. You can check. They have released it. They've even released archive footage as well of things. And, you know, it's...
This is the Nemitz video.
Yeah. And it's crazy. You know, it's absolutely mental how things like this, you know, they just get swept under the rug because people won't listen.
But even then, it's like people see that, and it's like people want the government to tell them that these things are real for whatever reason. And yet, even when the government tells them that it's real, they don't want to acknowledge it.
I've seen them, the videos, and you can see the comments on it, and people are trying to rationalize, oh, well, it's this or well, it's that. And I'm like, hang on a minute. I'm pretty sure that you're sat on your computer at home saying that it's this. I'm pretty sure that's been checked by not one, but probably 200 or 300 specialists in the field. And even they've come out and gone, no, we don't know what that is. There's no way you know when you're sat on your computer.
There's a program on TV. I think it's on like Discovery Science or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's called NASA's Unexplained Files. But it's actually, it should be called that. Yeah, it should be called NASA's Explain Files, because everything they put on there is basically explainable. And so they put it on there, making out that it's going to be, did NASA photograph a UFO on Mars? And then it shows you it, and it's like, no. Just a piece of dust on the camera. And then it's like, oh, no, NASA experts found out after checking the lens that it was just a speck of dust that had gone on. And it's like, yeah, that's not unexplainable then, is it?
No, it's not.
Definition is explained. So it's like, it's just a show made up of explain, and they get all these dickheads on to talk about it as if it's, you know, this is a mothership coming to wipe us all out and all that. And it's clearly just a piece of rock flying through the atmosphere. It's like nothing, you know what I mean? But it's just bullshit. It's just a show. And I don't know if it's an hour or half an hour, I can't remember. I've only watched a couple of episodes of it. But it's just complete bollocks. But we know that NASA's got tons of things that it can't actually explain.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't want to go into the moon landings now, but...
We will do that because I've got a different view on it than you. We will do that as an episode because I...
You know, there's so much shit just on that. You know, you could do do a full show on NASA's Unexplained stuff just on the moon landings, and you would not get an explanation by the end of it.
No. No, you wouldn't.
So, but this is, but the problem is, going back to the original point, circle back, as some might say, but going back to the original point there was that these shows are on TV to sort of show the public that there is nothing unexplainable. Mm. You know, you was on about some earlier about all the knowledge in the world and, you know, what percent of that knowledge do you know, sort of thing. And yeah, what would you say? We don't even know 1% of all the knowledge.
No, I wouldn't even thought that.
You know, that, I mean, all the collective knowledge of every human being in the world, you know, you think you know a lot, but you don't really.
No.
There's obviously people know more about a particular subjects than you and that sort of thing. But even those people are, you know, and I don't want to dwell too much on the COVID thing, but you find this in these so-called experts, you know, that the wheel these guys out on TV, mostly guys, the wheel these guys out on TV, and they say, oh, this is a so-and-so expert. And you do a bit of background check and you find out he's just a fucking school teacher, not, you know, a scientist, you know. But, you know, and then start telling you about all this shit, but they don't look, they don't know about this study, they don't know about this study, they don't know about this study. So all they're talking about is this one aspect and trying to convince people. And that's, and we are at a stage now where a lot of this COVID thing is just about convincing people that we've done the right thing, this is the right route to go on, and blah, 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 and hindsight and all this shit, which is bullshit. But, yeah, you know, and it's like I tell people, I say, well, we had the same sort of evidence, what you're talking about now, what we should, you know, when I say, well, why didn't we do this? Oh, but we didn't know this and that. Yeah, but we did know. The science hasn't changed. You know what I mean? Nothing's changed from 3 months, 6 months, 8 months ago. Yet we carried on with this, you know, basically draconian crap for the sake of what? You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the COVID situation is very strange. And I'll tell you what I found very strange being in Britain. I'm assuming your show is very similar to mine, where sort of 70-80% of your listeners are from the States.
And I found
it very strange when you had the election, and obviously when Biden was sworn in, I had this overwhelming feeling that America was going straight into a lockdown, because I don't think Trump dealt with the COVID situation very well. I'm not going to dwell on that. I know people have their opinions either way. I personally don't think he dealt with the situation very well. And I thought that Biden's immediate reaction would be lockdown. And from what I'm aware, America's not even been in a lockdown this year. And we've only just come out of one, you know. And I find that really strange, because America is a country that didn't deal with the pandemic very well, as same as us. And then they had an opportunity to, you know, to deal with it slightly differently and didn't take that. And I found that very strange. You know, when you look at the infection rates and things like that in this country, which we know have been either exaggerated or are biased or false or whatever, we know they're not 100% accurate. But the rates in this country have dramatically dropped over the last few months. So when every other country across the world is going one way, we're actually looking better than everyone at the moment, which is quite nice, because we haven't done for the last year. I mean, we had a right shit show last year. Boris Johnson was a fucking joke. He was abysmal last year when you look at it. But he seems to have sort of sorted it out this year. It seems
still better
to be a lot
than Keir Non-Starter, though.
Who? Keir Starmer? Well, yeah, I mean, we won't turn it into a huge political show, but I am a staunch conservative, always have been, probably always will be. Even I would have picked Jeremy Corbyn over Keir Starmer. What an embarrassment. And I dare anybody to tell me differently. I'm not a fan of Jeremy Corbyn. I'm not a fan of Keir Starmer, but come on, at least Corbyn had a backbone. I've got no time for Keir Starmer.
Like I say, we have got a lot of American listeners, and like I say, we don't want to turn this into any, you know, political thing, but people should check out the video of Keir Starmer basically getting thrown out of that, Keir Non-Starter getting thrown out of that fucking pub.
Get out of my pub.
Yeah, that's proper, it's proper British, isn't it?
And if you are into funny videos like that, get yourselves onto...
Probably did show that in the States, didn't they?
Probably, I would have thought so. But if not, get yourselves onto YouTube and there's a type in Keir Starmer, I Want to Be Like You from the Jungle Book. That is worth watching.
That sums up British politics in a three-minute video, doesn't it? Yeah.
You want to sum up British politics? They had the London mayoral elections last Thursday. We'll sum up British politics. 25,000 people, 24,700 people across London voted for Major Binhead or Binface. Yeah, there is genuinely a man who ran for mayor of London with a bin on his head and called himself Major Binface.
He'd probably do a better job.
He probably would do a better job, to be fair. But he got 24,500 votes, nearly 25,000 votes. That's crazy. That's a lot of people voting for that.
People call them wasted votes, or...
Do you know what, though? It would be brilliant, wouldn't it? Can you just imagine the mayor of London, Major Binface?
Well, he'd have to wear that bin all the time.
Oh, yeah, but he would do.
When he's opening the new Tesco's on fucking...
Oh, honestly, they're mental. It's they're called the Monster Raving Loony Party.
Yeah. They get funded. I mean, it's crazy, isn't it? Like, politics is just crazy anyway.
Oh, honestly, they're brilliant.
But they're all, they're just different sides of the same coin at the end of the day, aren't they?
Screaming Lord Sutch, he was the man who started it.
Nice.
So,
but anyway, yeah, so that'll do for the Wampus Cat then. Wampus Cat is the Wampus Cat. I think, like I said before, if anyone's got any stories they want to share on the show, if anyone wants to come on the show, it is easy enough to contact us. You can contact us at supernaturalpod@gmail.com. The link will be in the show notes, and I don't know if it lets me do a clickable email link, which is kind of weird. It'll let me do a link. I don't know if it lets me do a thingy. So that, but anyway, if it does, click on it. If it don't, write it down.
Or Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, we are still on Facebook for now. Apart from that, it's getting a little bit sinister in it. So I'm not sure how long we're going to be on there, but we are on there for now. So yeah, contact us there. We're easy enough to find. You've got a story, let us know. There was something else I was going to mention as well. Oh, yeah. I did that Dangerous Animals video. So I'll put that link in the description as well, so you can go and click on that.
Yeah, not going to lie. You sent me that, and I thought, oh, you go. You see this video of you sat there in front of your Union Jack, and I thought, what a prick. Well, I'll tell you what, it was funny. It was
Union flag.
Union flag. Yeah, sorry, it's not at sea, is it? It's a Union.
Not on a jet.
Yeah, but I was like, oh, you're like, all right, you know what? This is gonna be shit. I tell you what, it was quite funny. Yeah. So yeah, if you haven't seen it, it is worth just having a quick look, because it is it's entertaining. It's very entertaining.
Yeah, it's not done for kids.
No, it's not. Yeah. Don't let kids see it.
You can show the kids, but no, have a guess. See what you see. I just want people, because everyone that's got in touch with me about seeing it, it's like, did you guess any of them? Any of the animals? And some people guess one or two, but I can't remember exactly how many there was. Was there 10 or 5?
10. 10, yeah. I think. So, yeah, I mean, I would have guessed one of them, but the one that I would have guessed, I would have thought would have been top. So,
yeah.
And it wasn't.
Yeah, a lot of people said that. But yeah, no, it's there. So click on that. Go in the description, click that. And, go on the show notes. You either just swipe up, I think, on Apple. Some of them you click, don't you, and move across.
Mm.
But, it's in there. Yeah,
Spotify is a drop down.
Take you straight to YouTube, and you can watch it. And leave a comment. Let us know what you think. I guess it was just a bit of fun. But, yeah, share it. As always with the show, share them as you go. And, obviously, we are doing another podcast that you might want to get involved in. And, well... If you do, you don't. And again, what I'll do is I'll drop the link for that show. Once we put it up, I'll drop the link for that in the description of this show and some of the other shows. So if you want to find it, all you got to do is click there. That'll take you to the show. But we've got another show to do for Patreon at the moment, as it is. But obviously, Apple are doing a subscription thing soon, so things will be going on there as well. So if it's easier for you to use Apple subscription and it is Patreon, then you lucky bastards, you're going to be getting something nice coming along with the Apple thing. I don't know how much control of the pricing of it, I don't know if you...
No, from what I've read, I think you can control a price. However, I think it is just a set price, whereas with Patreon, you guys can tip more than what, you know, what is suggested. I know for my personal Patreon, I have a few that pay a little bit more. So, you know, with Patreon, you guys get a little bit more fluidity with it. You can pick and choose how much you decide to pay in regards to that. But I think with Apple, I have a funny feeling it's going to be one set price.
I do. It's going to be like in the UK, it's probably going to be $4.99 or something like that. Mm.
Yeah, it's normally around the sort of £5 or $5 mark, something like that.
But, you know.
Well, we'll see. We should know more about it probably next week, I would have thought.
Yeah.
From what I've read, they're going to let us know around the 17th of May. So,
yeah, we'll chuck some
fingers crossed
stuff up on there. So, if, you know, like I say, because there's a lot of people who don't want to join Patreon for various different reasons, with it being a third party and... It's just faffing about all that. I get all that. So, but there's people that want to join this. So, obviously, when it goes live, we will hopefully, I won't put it live until we've got some stuff up there anyway. So, yeah. But that's coming. And I guess it's going to roll out in the States as well as here at the same time, isn't it? So, that being said, but we're going to record another episode for that shortly. So, that's it for this episode, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Now you know a little bit more about the Wampus Cat and British politics. I mean, you didn't probably want to know that, but now you do. No,
well, that's, you know, that's how it goes. You go off on a tangent a little bit, but
it's all just as mental. All politics, as it doesn't matter where you are, politics is mental.
It is indeed.
Yeah, it just really doesn't make a lot of sense. You know,
just leave it to the Queen. Just leave it all up to the Queen.
99.9% of people who survived COVID. No, 99.9% of politicians are just in it to feather their own nest. They're not in it to change the world.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean? People forget that, don't they? People think the local level politicians, they are normally interested in the local area because they're from there, aren't they? But once they move up in the ranks and, you know, go to Westminster and that.
And they realise the paycheck's bigger.
Yeah, they're not bothered then, are they?
No.
But
fair, I'd sell my soul for what they make.
Oh, didn't they get an extra, was it $13,000 this year just for sitting at home?
Yeah. I think I would sell my soul for that. Yeah. I'd be quite happy with
I don't know if I've got a soul to sell, but...
Well, yeah, that's true.
What is a soul? Boat. That's a show, isn't it?
What is a soul?
Yeah. What is a soul worth? Can you sell it to science?
I don't know. You used to be able to... I always remember the Simpsons episode where Bart Simpson writes down my soul and sells it. And then he gets like hounded by the devil. That's what I always remember when people sell their soul. Yeah. But
such a thing. So, you know, you would think like, you know, there's nothing to believe in with a soul. But... Because, you know, with the soul, it's like if there was, you know, I always think, well, somewhere in your genetics, you'd be able to find it.
I think it's a subconscious more than...
The coding for the soul sort of thing. Hmm. But saying that, though, there's obviously that experiment that was carried out where people weighed more. Was it 40 grams more when they died? Just for a split second. When they died, they weighed 40 grams more. And then, obviously, when they died, they weighed less after that. So, so the idea was that they...
It could just be the air leaving their bodies, though, you know?
No, because they weighed more, not less.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's weird.
But you remember that thing? I was going to say experiment. One experiment was just kids pissing about. But that thing where you used to put some butter bastard in his ear. Do you remember this? And you used to put your fingers under their armpits... You know, like three or four of you, and then you'd lift them up, and you couldn't lift them up because obviously, you know what I mean. You'd lift them with your fingers,
yeah.
And then you say something about, oh, somebody will know and let me know. Somebody will let me know the catchphrase what you say, but it was something about light as a feather or some shit. And then you do it, and then you can lift them.
I really don't remember this.
Don't remember that.
You must have just had some weird things to doing. You must have had nothing to do in Grimsby. Well, that's yeah, what it
we,
is.
We just passed the time by eating a lot of mushrooms, but and lifting people.
Yeah.
But no, it was. I can't when it was stiff as a board, light as a feather, or something like that. And
I've heard that.
Yeah. Somebody out there will remember this. Probably a British person who's listening. If there's anybody left listening at this point,
but probably not now. Just rambling.
They will be able to get in touch with us and let us know. But yeah, you know you can't lift somebody, and then all of a sudden you can lift them, and I don't know why. That must be a psychological thing with a person in the chair. I don't know, because you can make yourself like a dead weight, can't you?
Yeah.
You know, if someone's trying to wrestle you to the ground in Tesco when you try to nick some bacon, but. But you can make yourself a dead weight. You ain't going to the ground. Don't matter what they do. And I don't know if that same thing is at play here. And I was basically, this is what I've learned about the soul thing. By the way, anyway, have a great week. And let us
stop digressing now.
Let us know what that rhyme was. Let us know if you did that experiment. And
yeah.
Yeah, that'd be interesting because I think it works every time. I don't think it's one of them that like people do it and it don't work, and it's not hypnotized. You know, you don't need to be hypnotized to do it, right? It's not eating an onion, but you know, people do it anyway. Anyway, enough of that. So we're going to record some else. So thank you very much for listening. As always, share the show, get in touch, all that good shit, and we will see you on the other side.
Well, they've gone. No, just for now. Wasn't the right time for us to meet. But there'll be other nights, other stars for us to watch. They'll be back.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry in to the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com. Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry in to the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com. Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry in to the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com. Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry in to the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.